You are listening to the Invitation Church podcast. To learn more about Invitation Church, visit us online at invitation605.com. You can also download our...
All right, question today right out of the gate. Anybody ever get like bored with your surroundings? You know, like a moment when you just need to like do something different, like the living room just feels a little sad, or maybe your apartment, it's just you're kind of tired of just how it looks, and you want to like spruce it up a little bit, so we're going to like get a new chair, or even better, maybe take the chair that's already there and just move it to the other side of the room. Anybody, like any tinkerers, or maybe like in the garage, right? Maybe like you can lose yourself for a couple hours just like moving things around in the garage, or maybe for others of us, like we need a new picture for the lock screen on our phone. You know, it's like, wow, that's been on there for a couple years. I really like it, but let's update it. Let's change it. Or I don't know, like your office space, like this happens to me. All I really need to do in my office to spruce it up is just like take all the stuff that I don't need and put it in the garbage can, right? So if you come into my office, you're going to see a ton of books, and you're going to see my desk is just my own wonderland of crazy. And it's just like how it works. I know where stuff is, and that's kind of all I need. It can't be too neat because I get nervous if it's that way. And but I do find like sometimes I just need a new pen, right? I just need a new thing to put the pens in. Like I'm just very much that way. Like I get bored with the surroundings and I just need to change it up a little bit. So I just wonder if anybody ever need to like rework or reshape your space. What I love about God is that the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's always about reshaping and it's about reworking the creative order, like the space that already exists. And so one way that we can think about the Holy Spirit is always disrupting, and it's the best. It is not an abusive disruption, it is a good disruption. But the Holy Spirit is always bringing life, and it's bringing change, and it's bringing redemption and blessing and hope to people who need it. And we've spent the last couple weeks in this series on the Holy Spirit, and we've kind of been hanging out in the Old Testament. And some of you have asked, are like, isn't the like Holy Spirit like in the New Testament, bro? Like, where'd you go to seminary? Let me see your card, you know? And I've just kind of had to explain, no, like that's kind of a common understanding, but it's actually throughout the whole Bible. Because there's been people in church history who kind of believe, we talked about this a few weeks ago, people who believe like, no, there's kind of two testaments, there's two stories, there's two gods. It's like, no. Two testaments, yes. One story and one God. And to the very beginning of scriptures, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and where's the Holy Spirit? It's not waiting for its chance to get in the game, right? It's not the 12-year-old who's been working really hard on his free throws, and he's ready to go when the coach calls on him, but he's just hanging out on the bench. No, Holy Spirit's already working, already engaged. And I think sometimes the Old Testament is a little bit like a snowstorm on the way to grandma's, like we're just trying to get through it so we can get there. And when we think about it that way, I think we miss a ton of the grace of God, a ton of the mercy of God, a ton of the power of God. And we have some misconceptions about what it is. So we wanted to hang out in the Old Testament a little bit. We kind of wanted to make our way through. You should see my list of Old Testament scriptures that talk about the Holy Spirit that we could be hanging out here until I have no spikes anymore. But we're not going to do that. This will be our last week, and then next week we're going to jump into the New Testament. We'll spend 4 weeks together, and then we're going to be in the season of Lent, which is insanity, but we'll walk through some things there. So if you haven't been here in this series, week one was about the Spirit of God hovering, and we talked about that as an expression, yes, of His power, but also of His love, that the Spirit is hovering, that there's nowhere else that the Spirit has to go. There's nowhere else that God would rather be, that God wants to be here. He's not looking for another people. He's not looking for another conversation. He's chosen to rest. So that's week one. Then in week two, we talked about the Holy Spirit of God bringing life to dead places. So we looked at this awesome story in the book of Ezekiel, where God brings life to dead places. And then last week, we talked about the tabernacle and how the Spirit of God is always authoring new beginnings. So if you've ever been in a place in life when what you've needed more than anything is a new beginning, the Holy Spirit's always the author of that. And then today we were going to talk a little bit about how the Spirit brings freedom for His people. And it just got me thinking, like, where do you feel free? Like, in your life, like, when do you feel free? And I'm talking about more than places you could show up just in your slippers. Well, not just in your slippers, but go with me on that. That came out in an interesting way. But where do you feel free? Like, where can you just be you? Like, who are the people? Like, with whom can you be free? Like, you can just be who you are. You're not dressing up. You're not playing a role. You're not showing that we've all got it together. Like, you don't always have to be wearing a smile. Like, you can just be you. Like, it's a safe place to crash. Where are those places? And who are those people? It's good to think about that today. And then I also wonder this. Do you experience freedom in your relationship with God? Like, is that a place for you where you can experience freedom? Or are you somebody that, you know, you always have this, like, running checklist of, like, how I'm doing with God? And it's interesting, there's been a lot of people throughout history who have stood in front of people with a microphone on their face or holding a microphone, pastors who have talked about, like, doing business with God. Like, make sure you're right with God. Who wants to get right with God today? And I've always been like, ugh, I'm not sure that that's how it works. I'm not sure that life with God is some kind of, like, business transaction. Like, we bought a house. That's a business transaction. Like, life with God is about seeing the world the way that He does and seeing ourselves the way that He does, not about, like, doing business with Him. I think He wants us to come to Him with confidence. And I just want to ask today in the room, like, most of us probably have no idea what a delight we are to God in this moment, where you are, not knowing everything about your story. But if we could begin from that place, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High King Jesus, and He delights in His children. It doesn't mean that there's stuff for us to learn. It doesn't mean there's things that we need to grow into, but that He delights in who we are. So when we're talking about freedom, I'm not talking about some kind of, like, cosmic hall pass. Like, I had this third grade teacher, you never had to go to the bathroom, you had to raise your hand, and then there was, like, this, like, weird monkey-looking thing that you had to carry down the hall. And in my third grade mind, I was like, this is so gross. Everybody's taking this into the bathroom, right? I'm just being real with you today. I just was like, I'm okay. Could I just go? I don't want to take that with me, right? We're not talking about that, so we're not talking about some kind of hall pass when we're talking about freedom. We're not talking about, like, you can do whatever you want. Like, there's no consequences. Like, you can think the way you want. You can talk the way you want. You can treat people the way you want. It's, man, you're free. Do whatever you want. And Paul talks about this with the churches in the New Testament. Like, what, should we just, like, go on sinning that, like, grace may abound? So I should keep just doing this thing knowing that God's going to forgive me? And Paul says, he fires back, megenata, may it never be so. That's not what we're talking about. What are we talking about? We're talking about freedom. I think we're talking about the ability to be everything God has made you to be instead of apologizing for who God has made you to be. Notice I didn't say apologizing for who you have made yourself to be. No, apologizing for the person God has made you to be, or even worse, hiding the person that God's made you to be. To live in the freedom that comes from the Holy Spirit is to be everything that God's made you and I to be. So to do that, I want to read from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet in the kingdom of Judah. And so his hometown is Jerusalem. And his hometown gets burned to the ground and it gets destroyed. And he's somebody who speaks for God. God gives him a message, and he comes to the people of God with something to say. And we find this. This is Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn." So if we had time to dig around in Isaiah, we'd see that there are significant physical and social and spiritual issues among the people of God. And this coming anointed one is going to come. The promise is he's going to bind all those up. He's going to bring healing to those people. He's going to get his hands into the mess, and he is going to put it all back together. He's going to do all of that by proclaiming freedom to the captives. And I think it's easy for us today to see in the Old Testament why that they needed freedom. You know, like, Iowa has not invaded the state of South Dakota today and, like, burned our city to the ground. And then we all have to go to Des Moines with them. That's not happened today. And so it's hard for us to, like, well, no, we're not captives. Man, like, look at my bank account. I'm not a captive. Like, look at my house. I'm not a captive. Like, look at the job that I have. I'm not a captive. Look at what I am able to do for myself. I'm not a captive. And what we don't realize is that way of thinking about the world reveals the fact that we are captive. And so I think there's a difference between the proclamation of freedom and the reception of freedom. Like, this is Israel's story. Like, they hear that they're free, but they don't live into what's been spoken over them. And so notice that it's not, the power is not in the words. Like, you are free. The power is the spirit behind the words. And I think the problem is that most of the things that keep us from freedom are not known by the people that God has given us to speak freedom over our lives. So we can look at Israel and go, oh man, like, they're in captivity. They are not free. But our deal is that our captivity is a little more invisible. And the things that are holding us captive, they're just not known by the people who live in our house. They're not known by the people in this community. And for some of you in the room, like, it's not known by anybody. And so there's just a thing that's just been sticking to you for a really long time. And you've tried really hard to be free of it. We've tried and tried and tried and made lists and, you know, all the things we do. But what keeps us bound up is that nobody knows about it. And so we talk about freedom. We're talking about freedom in three contexts. We're talking about freedom from the past. Like, some of what we are carrying today is something that's unfolded in the past. That's just been a really hard, dark, awful thing that we've experienced. And it's still, the tapes kind of still play in our head. Kind of still living that story. Some of us need freedom from something that's going on now, in this moment, today, January of 2020. And what's true is that going forward, we're all going to need to step into freedom in the future. Because there's an evil one, and he's always seeking to rob us of our freedom and replace it with duty, especially in the church. So here's what I find really interesting about people who are connected to Jesus, people who proclaim resurrection, people who celebrate Easter. Like, he's not in the tomb. He's risen from the dead. Alleluia. Is that we spend a lot of time declaring and talking about freedom. It's the place where it's talked about most. And my experience has been, it's also the place where it's experienced the least. So it's proclaimed the most, talked about the most, but experienced the least. And I think we could probably go around today. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pass around a microphone. But my hunch is today that there's a lot of us, even in the room today, who have heard it been proclaimed, but that's just not been our experience, even with other Christians. So Rob Bell writes this book called Jesus Wants to Save Christians. And it's like, what? They don't need to be saved from anything. And no, that's what he's talking about. Is that we're proclaiming stuff, but we haven't yet experienced it for ourselves. And so I think that's what's going on in Isaiah 61. So verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. So that word sovereign, I love it. It's talking about the loving control of God. It's not an abusive control. I used to be a youth pastor, and I would take teenagers all over the place. There's some people in the room today, I won't point them out, who have been in a 15-passenger van with me going down the road to all different kinds of places. And it was good news if I was in control of the vehicle. And that's the picture of God's control in our lives. It's loving. It's two hands on the wheel. When we talk about God's sovereignty, we're talking about his visible and invisible hand. Like, we can see what he's doing, and there's always another work that we can't see, so his visible and invisible hand. It says, because the Lord has anointed me, this anointing is an outward symbol of the work of the Spirit. And so in Exodus chapter 28, the Levites, the religious leaders of Israel, they were anointed. So anointing is about preparation. And it's about holiness, it's about being set apart, and it's about authority. Like, these are the people that I have chosen. So he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And I just wonder in this room today, like, who are some of the people who have preached the good news to you? Not the news that has bound you up, the news that has sent you free. And then who are some of the people that you've had an opportunity to preach the good news to? Like, who have you proclaimed freedom over? And then he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This idea of binding up, of healing, it's this Hebrew word, chabash. And it just means to heal and to bind up, to put back together. And I love that Isaiah says that he's been sent, like it's purposeful. There's an assignment, there's an aim. And so we're sent people. Like, we're not just people who receive. Like, we're people who receive the love of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the power of God. And then that's the sending power out into the world. And Henry Nouwen, who we talk about a lot here, talks about there's two journeys in the Christian life. One is an inward journey. So the inward journey is to prayer and to reflection. But then there's an outward journey toward mission and community. And so I just wonder, like, if you have any sense today on, like, how God is sending you, how God has sent you, and where maybe God might be sending you in this next season of your life. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, and he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I love today in Judges chapter 7, there's this guy named Gideon, and God's giving him this opportunity that's really stretching him. Anybody been there in your life before? An opportunity that you don't really like, you'd love your neighbor to do it, or that cousin, that is kind of annoying, you would like God to use them instead of yourself. And I love that, like, God puts up with our whining. Can I just say that from the front today? That, like, he's okay with it. He's okay with us being unsure of ourselves, and I'm not really sure, God, I can do this. And I love God says to Gideon, it's going to be up on the screen, the Lord turned to him, Gideon, and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And so I was thinking probably that's for somebody today, like, go in the strength that you have. Because I think a lot of us want God to send other people. And part of that is because we just don't believe that we have much to offer, that we have a word to speak over somebody's life. And then he says, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners. So anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Hebrews chapter 2, we have that up there. Beautiful. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. And this word that's used for release in the Hebrew is this word deror, and it's used in reference in Jeremiah 34 to like the slaves being freed after 6 years. It's like if you're a Hebrew person, if you're a part of the nation of Israel, that 6 years has passed, for whatever reason you're a slave, you are set free. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. That's what the church is to proclaim. And I just want to ask you today, you know, what's your experience been of what the church is in the habit of proclaiming? And are we a church that is in the habit of proclaiming freedom over people's lives? Or do we get in the habit of proclaiming, oh, I don't know, we could start with morality. We could talk about that. How that becomes our message. That becomes our proclamation. What about anger? I think the church ever gets in the habit of proclaiming anger? Like the church is mad when we're upset. And of course there are things to be angry about. Of course there are things that need to change in our world. Think about the people who aren't here today. Think about the people who need a release from captivity. Is that their experience with the church? Or maybe we proclaim certainty. Like we've got it all figured out. Anybody have that kid in your third grade class? Certain about everything? Like raises his hand before there's even a question. I think for some people, that's been their experience with followers of Jesus. And we've not taken the opportunity to step and enter into mystery. I go, man, I don't know, but that's an awesome question. I'd love to explore that with you. I wonder if the world's experience with the church is the opposite of that. We could talk about the church proclaiming judgment. I think we could talk about the church proclaiming like finality. Well, that's never going to happen. Like, this is done. This is over. And I think that's the reason why the resurrection is so important, is because dead things come to life. Light shines on the darkness. And there becomes life to dry bones. Then verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and proclaim the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. So the year of the Lord's favor is like this big party called the year of Jubilee. So after 6 years, all the slaves are set free. And then there's the that happens again 6 years later. And once that has happened seven times, after 50 years, there was a year-long party known as the Year of Jubilee. And you let the fields rest, and nobody worked for a year. All the teenagers are like, sign me up for that. As a year to say, like, God's got all of this, and we're going to celebrate all that he's done and all he's going to do in the future. And so we don't have to get in the field and get busy, because God is. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor is the restoration of his people, the restoration of the land, that the countdown is over. And if you've read this passage before, you know that Jesus picks up this passage in Luke chapter 4. So we hear it first in Isaiah. And we have to understand it first in the context of Isaiah. But then Jesus picks it up at the beginning of his ministry. And he picks up a scroll. He is like so courageous. He's with a bunch of religious people who have all of this memorized. And Jesus picks up a scroll and he reads it. And then he says something awesome. He says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And the church freaks out. And so this is Jesus proclaiming himself as Messiah. Like, the Spirit of the Lord is on Jesus to bring freedom. So the law's not bringing freedom. Like, all the commandments in the Old Testament, that's not bringing freedom. It's not bringing freedom that, like, one day you were a part of Abraham's family, or you're in the line of, who doesn't matter. Like, Jesus is saying, like, you've heard a ton of stuff proclaimed, but I'm proclaiming life, and I'm proclaiming freedom, and I'm proclaiming power to you. And I think today that the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to bring the freedom that we need. The Holy Spirit's going to be the one that is going to bring the freedom in other people's lives that they need. And that's not a simplistic, like, bumper sticker, Band-Aid thing today. That's just what is true. Because that's what Jesus does. Like, that's what Jesus brings about. All the times he gives sight to the blind, he allows the people who can't walk to walk, and the people who can't see, see. Jesus comes on the scene and he says, the reason I'm here is to proclaim freedom for those who are captives. So much so that at the very end of his life, he's seated with his disciples around a table. And he's been talking to them about how the end is coming, about he's going to go to a cross and he's going to give his life. And he takes bread and he breaks it. And he says that this is my body and it's been given for you. Like, this is the freedom that I have come to bring, and it's yours. It's landing on you today. And then he took the cup and he poured it out and said, this is the covenant in my blood. It's not an old thing, it's a new thing. And then Paul picks up these words later to the church in Corinth. And he adds kind of his own spin through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that, hey, every time you come to the table, every time you drink of this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. So the table of the Lord is always and ever a place of freedom. It's always and ever a place where all can come. You know, it's not that I don't know if there's a place for me, I don't know if there's a seat for me today, but it's a place of freedom. And it's a place of belonging, it's a place of power. And as I studied Isaiah 61 this week, and as I read and read and read Luke chapter 4, there's just something that, like, I felt like the Spirit was prompting me with, this question that the Lord was laying upon me. And it was just like, you know, it's great that, like, you've heard the words from the scroll, that the Spirit of the Lord is on you. It's awesome that you've heard that in your life. That's amazing. but like, how often are you like picking up the scroll and proclaiming it over somebody's life? Because it's just not going to be enough for us to like hear that there's freedom. I think sometimes we're going to need to step into the footsteps of Jesus, and we're going to need to pick up the scroll and proclaim it over somebody's life. And every time that happens, it's not going to be because of our knowledge. It's going to happen because of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to do things in that moment that we don't know, that we could not imagine, that we could not dream up. And so my heart for this church, my desire for this church is, yes, we want to be people of the scroll. Like, we want to be people who have heard the word of God proclaimed. And it lands on us. And it changes how we think and how we see ourselves and see the world. But man, like, what is it if we don't ever have a moment like Jesus in the temple where we pick up the scroll and we open it and we proclaim it over somebody else's life? And so this morning I just want to ask, like, who in your world needs freedom proclaimed? Like, who needs to know that, like, this doesn't have to define you? Who needs to know that this doesn't have to be the way that it's always going to be? Like, who needs to know? Who needs to know that, guess what, newsflash, Jerusalem gets rebuilt. It doesn't stay in rubble. And we find later in Nehemiah that Nehemiah uses the rubble to, that's a different message today, but he uses the rubble to rebuild the city. This beautiful picture of who God is. Like, I'm going to use this thing that was destroyed to rebuild the whole thing. And I just want so badly for us to be proclaimers of freedom, especially for people whose experience has been that the church as the place that talks about freedom the most and experiences it the least. That's just what I want for this place. I mean, I want some comfy chairs too, and those are coming, I promise you. But man, there's so many people who are not here today. And there's so many people who aren't here because they just don't think that they can be. And there's so many people, I think, who are waiting for someone to pick up the scroll and proclaim it over their life. So would you be those kinds of people? Would you continue to be those kinds of people as we wait for the return of Jesus? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you today for your goodness and for your grace and for the life that we have in your name. God, I'm asking in these moments that by your Spirit you would be prompting us. You would be speaking to us about the people that need the proclamation of freedom in and over their life. And God, I'm guessing there's just some people here who just have been living under a weight, under a sentence, under chains. And God, I pray that you would communicate your life and your blessing and your truth and your way in their life, is that you have come to set them free. You've come to proclaim freedom for the captives and to bind up all of the wounds that the evil one has brought and to set them free. God, thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thank you that not where there's more knowledge, there's freedom. Where there's more certainty, there's freedom. Where there's more comfort, there's freedom. But thank you, Jesus, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So may freedom increase in this place. May freedom increase in this city. That we would become all that you have made us to be in Jesus. For Jesus' name and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Invitation Church podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message that you just heard and receive every part of it. Every promise from God, every declaration of His great love for you, every word of hope, every reminder that you have been made for more. Allow what you've heard to take root in your soul, to allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we are doing here at Invitation as we invite people to live the way of Jesus. Go to the app and become a regular giver, an investor in the story that God is writing in this place. Also, if you found this message meaningful, would love to have you share it with someone else as you partner with us in carrying this message beyond the walls of our church. I want to thank you for being here with us. Grace and peace.